Good morning, Northern California. How are we doing today? It's getting a little warm. This is Nigel Skeet. I'm running the California Adventure District radio show. My co-pilot, James, is on his way. He's having truck problems, so for now you're stuck with me. This is going to be a great show. This is Bigfoot Weekend, okay? In about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, we have Mr. Darrell Owen calling in. He's a Bigfoot expert, an eyewitness. He's one of the few people who's come face-to-face with Bigfoot and lived to tell about it and write about it and film about it, which is great. So this actually gives me a few minutes to get a few things out of the way, because we're going to give the remaining part of the show over to Darrell and all about Bigfoot. So until then, let's get a few things straight. There's a lot of stuff going on. The new flight from Redding to Seattle has been a great success so far. This week we've had, according to Redding Airport, about 1,000 passengers total. So about 500 to and 500 back from Redding to Seattle. That's awesome. There's a lot of things going on. Today in Redding, obviously, it's about 111, 112. If you don't want to deal with those kind of temperatures right now, today, you can pop on up to Etna, where I'm sure it's going to be 15 to 20 degrees cooler. And there's the Far North Summer Music Festival going on. I guess it's a big deal. Music festival and street fair, live music, two stages, food, drinks, vendors, crafts, activities for all. Tickets are for adults are only $5, and children under 12 get in for free. That's going to be great, actually. I wish we could go. I wonder if we could do a remote broadcast from up there at some point. We'll see see how that goes. It's good to see that a lot of events are coming back. Concerts. I know that people are hungry for concerts. Not too sure about the movie industry, but you know, going and sitting in a movie theater. But the concerts are definitely coming back, and I know we have some coming up at the Redding Civic, and the Rolling Hills Casino is going gangbusters. They have Skid Row and Warrant coming on July 11th, Ice Cube July 18th, Cole Swindell, I believe that's a country dude, right? He's coming August 8th, Three Doors Down September 2nd, and the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys are still going. What about that? They're coming September 9th. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 shows. I know they have more, but at least 5 concerts this summer at Rolling Hills Casino. So it's good to see them coming back. Let's see. July 4th is going to be very busy in our neck of the woods. I know that. Here in Redding, we're going to have the fireworks display, but no Freedom Fest. But up in Del Norte, in Crescent City, they're going all out. It's going to be great. The parades, the concerts, the vendors, and all that stuff. A huge fireworks show. So, again, if you don't want to hang around in the heat, you can go over to the coast. And another big one is going to be up in Mount Shasta. They have a whole 4th of July schedule of events. Actually, they're starting July 1st. They're going to have a kickoff. The Mount Shasta Chamber of Commerce kickoff mixer. That's going to be great. Friday, July 2nd, street fair and festival, live music. July 3rd, street fair and festival, live music. And Sunday, July 4th, I think it's going to be great. Parade, street fair and festival. The Mount Shasta Ski Park is going to be open from 10 to 4. Fireworks is going to be at 9:45. That's going to be amazing. So it's really good to see our entire community slowly come back online and go gangbusters. This is great. Of course, those are all like entertainment activities. If you want to get out and start exercising, which is great, we have the Grinduro coming up to Mount Shasta, which is a gravel grinder race. I believe that's September 18th. And they also have a Enduro Series mountain bike race, Mount Shasta Ski Park, on Saturday, July 10th. That's going to be great. too. So it's really good to see our top part of California come back to life. This is great. One of the things I would like to do at some point, maybe it's a sign of me getting older, but in Mendocino, they have this thing called Painting in Paradise, where you can actually take our art classes overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Well, guess who's here? Guess who just walked in? Mr. Truck Problems?
Mr. Truck Problems, yeah. as I live and breathe.
Yep. Well, welcome, James.
Welcome.
It's good to see you.
Sorry.
It's okay. We've all had truck problems. I just gave, I think, Mr. Darrell Owen, this is going to be Bigfoot Weekend, so this is going to be a great show.
It is.
So I was
super
just,
excited.
I was just getting some of the calendar events out of the way, and there's a lot of them.
So many of them.
There's a lot. There's actually too many I didn't even realize, to be honest with you, because I've been emailing some of our partners in the various counties to send us their events.
Yep.
And it's like, okay,
you're
going to have to pick. Well, you had movies in the park last night.
We did, and there was the fair going on.
The fair.
And there was, you know, all kinds of things happening, and I was very impressed with last night's turnout still, even with that many things going on at one time.
Did you see all the concerts coming to Rolling Hills Casino?
I did, yeah. Some good ones.
That's a lot.
I know.
So...
that and and then I just also saw on the landing page at the Civic there's a lot that's
they're doing great.
Yeah.
Got caught up with Nathan, who books the talent at the Civic, and he was saying that, you know, they're going to be really busy.
Yep.
So it's going to be a great season. Let's see here. So we have two more minutes before.
And actually, I'm opening up the computer so that we can look into the chat and look what popped up.
Oh, there it is, Camping with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
That was being blasted to the crowd last night.
Yeah. Well, this is definitely Bigfoot weekend. Again, Daryl's. Last time we had Daryl on, but he was only on for like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and it got really juicy, right? It was almost like a build-up, and then we pulled the rug out from under people. So
we've got to do that. We've got to do that a little differently this time. So we're going to give him a full 30 minutes plus to tell his story.
Catch up.
Let's see. By the way, I did just mention this, but I just spoke with Jim yesterday, and apparently 1,000 on the Alaska flight.
1,000?
Total, yeah. So 500 out, 500 in. So it's 1,000 extra passengers in Reading.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot.
That's nuts, actually, I think. I mean, my son's using Aveo today. He's flying in from Burbank.
Excellent. What was he doing down there?
He was 5 days at Disneyland and yesterday at Universal Studios.
Right on. So
I got to finally firsthand go on the new Star Wars, big Star Wars ride at Disneyland through FaceTime.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He held me up so I could go through the ride with
him. Not as busy as normal.
No, but they're saying they were just loving it because the lines were like, you know, lickety split. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing that, you know, Disneyland is open, but they've had to control the capacity. So, I mean, how many times has that happened in the world? Not many.
I know, right? But anyway, so our flights are doing really good. And I guess the flights from Phoenix to Arcade are doing really well, too.
Really?
I didn't get the exact numbers, but they're saying, yeah, they're very happy.
Uh-huh.
So that's great. So we have a lot of people coming into our area.
I think that's cool. I don't know the demographics and stuff of Arcata, so when I heard about that flight, obviously anything that you can get is great.
Well, if you're in Reading now and you want to get up and split, I think you could, today is the Oyster Festival.
Mm.
So if you don't want to sit in 112, you can go into the mid-60s and go grab a great weekend. Okay, so we're going to be right back. I think Mr. Darrell is calling in. And we're going to have a great story.
This is going to be cool.
I know. You ready?
Right. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Now.
Bigfoot Weekend.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Redding, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back, welcome back.
Yes.
Nigel and James, California Adventure District Radio Show, and this is Bigfoot Weekend.
Yeah, they just posted that on the chat, so
yep.
If people are tuning in and listening and you have any questions,
yep, they can go to CaliforniaAdventureDistrict.com to the radio show tab there, and then you can link into the KCNR1460.com website to have the live chat. If you want to call in and have a question for our next guest, Mr. Daryl Owen, the phone number is 530-605-4567.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Daryl, are you there?
I am here, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you. I'm in the backyard with my dogs right now, so if you hear them bark, that's where I'm at.
That's great. So we had you on last time. And we had to cut you off when we got to the good part.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
No.
We had
people reacting, saying, "We want to hear more. We hear what happened." And so, seeing as within the California Adventure District, our most famous resident is Bigfoot, and I think he's been around here since before we got here, and he'll be here after we leave. I thought it only fitting to highlight Bigfoot, and we met at Bigfoot Days at that festival in Willow Creek, which was great. I had no idea how seriously they took it, and now that I've kind of gotten into it over the last couple of years, I realize it's a real thing. So, Daryl, you're one of the eyewitnesses, and since you were an eyewitness, you've become an expert in Bigfoot. So, if you would, why don't you start at the beginning?
You know, take it from the top again.
Take it from the top and okay. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was Halloween. It was October 29th, 1992. My son came home and said that they had seen a large hairy man shaking branches at them out in the woods. We lived in the Klamath area. Our back of our house was actually against the mountains. We had lots of redwood forest back there. My son used to go out and play in the creek bed. Well, I thought they were going to try to play a Halloween trick on me and, you know, try to scare me out there. Because my son was like that. He was 8, you know, typical kid, you know. I said, okay, I'm ready. I'll go out there. So we went across the bed, and I had noticed the boys had actually fallen behind where we were going to. And there was an open area in the redwoods, kind of looked like a little tunnel. It wasn't a tunnel, but it was kind of an open area where you could walk up to it. And I asked the boys, I said, well, right here? And they were about 30 feet from me where the forest started. And they said yes. They nodded their head. So I hopped up in there, and I had noticed I walked back in about 10 feet. I had noticed kind of a rancid smell, and the smell was wet dog, rotten meat kind of smell. It wasn't an ordinary smell that you'd... It's not a dead animal. I take that back. It was a dead animal, but it resembled rotten chicken. If you've ever smelled rotten chicken or rotten meat, that's what
it's not very pleasant.
It's not very pleasant.
No, you can't buy a candle in that essence.
Right. It burned my nose a little bit, you know, just a bad smell. And, you know, one thing about it is I'm a military-trained tracker, and there was just something off about all this day because when I got out there, you know, I wasn't doing what I thought I should do. I wasn't doing it right. Because usually a military-trained tracker, first of all, we look at the ground, we look at our surroundings, we look for what it could have been, what it might be, where we're at, everything like that, but... You know, the confusion part of it kind of set in. I was waiting for a big hairy hand to come out. My son, you know, him and his friend laugh, or you know, they're out there playing tricks, and I step in a big hole and fall down. Something out of the ordinary. But, you know, so I went back up in about 40, 50 feet up into this big tunnel, and where the tunnel ended, there is a very large log that had been fallen over. It was a redwood. It was probably maybe 3 or 4 feet around, but you couldn't go any farther except for over the log. And I wasn't going to go any farther. I couldn't see the boys because I had gone in so far. They were still out in the creek bed because they refused to go up in there. And I turned around, and just briefly, I kind of stood there for a minute. I kind of laughed and giggled, kind of chuckled and thought, you know, they didn't get me. I didn't see it, whatever they planted out here. And I looked down, and I had noticed a very large footprint. And I mean a large footprint. And I kind of looked around, and I had noticed that I had walked right beside him going up in there. And I thought, wow, look at this. You know, this must be the trick. So I got down there, kind of looked at him, and I went back out. I went out to the boys, and I asked them, I said, are you sure this is where it was at? And they both nodded. I walked back up in there, and I counted 36 footprints, left and right footprint, and it was 17 inches long, 9 inches wide, and it was a perfect indentation of a print all the way up to the log and then over the log. So I had I'd never known anything about Bigfoot. I was not a Bigfoot person at all. I was in the military. I tried to... put myself together. I was thinking maybe it could have been a bear, because a bear will step inside its own print. You know, its front foot, and then the back print will go into that print. And so, I kind of looked at the first couple, and I had noticed that there was no claw marks. If it's a bear print, you can always see the claw marks where the bear will step, and you'll see little dots in front of the toes. Well, there were none. Well, I started to panic. I thought, I'm not here by myself. The kids are down in the creek bed. They're not by themselves. And we ran home. I took the little boy home to his dad, and I tried to explain to his dad that the boys saw something out of the ordinary, and they described it as a large, hairy man. And the father told me, Mr. Owen, he goes, you're from the city, right? I said, yes, sir. And he said, it's best to go home and just tell your boy you saw a bear. And I said, but the boys are not describing what they saw that looked like a bear. And what I'm seeing in the forest as footprints is not a bear. He goes, Mr. Owen, seriously, do not do that around here. He says, you're not going to like what happens afterwards. Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. It kind of pissed me off. And I'm trying to be nice about it here.
Yeah.
The guy slammed the door in my face. I grabbed my son and I went home. Told my son on the way home, it was just a bear. Don't worry about it, buddy. It was just a bear. Next day, overnight, it really irritated. It grinded on me really bad about how this guy treated me. Trying to describe this. Now, Klamath is a very tiny community. It's probably 600 families. It's probably a 5-mile by 5-mile radius. The topography is all, it's mobile homes and big yards, and there's a lot of vineyards, like apple tree vineyards, things like that in there. A lot of Native Americans live there. So the next day, I decided I was going to call the police, because it ground on me. I thought maybe if it's a bear, it shouldn't be so close to us.
Right, yeah.
Called the police department, and back in the 90s, they used to have, Radio Shack used to make a handheld radio, and it used to be a trunking system where you could listen to radio communications between the police officers. Well, I called the police department, and I described to the dispatcher exactly what happened, and he said, oh, Mr. Owen, don't worry about that. It's probably just a bear. Tell your son not to play in the creek bed anymore. And he said, honestly, Mr. Owen, he goes, stay out of the forest.
And he hung stay out of the forest. That's kind of tough to do when you live in the forest.
Yeah, I live in the forest. I'm within 1,000 yards of the redwoods and a very gigantic mountain behind me that is nothing but redwoods. Well, okay. Well, the police officer didn't do justice for me. I'm still upset. Now I've had two people, not only law enforcement, but now my community is beginning to say, okay, you didn't see anything, you saw a bear. I didn't see anything. My son is telling me. And, my son told fibs. I'll give him that. But this is in the ground. There is something in the ground that does not look like a bear or a coyote or a mountain lion or a dog. I mean, we're talking a footprint, a very large, perfect footprint.
Yeah.
So about 3 hours later, and I'm kind of guesstimating, you guys, it's been a long time, so I'm saying it's just the same day. There was a knock at the door. And I went out, and it was my neighbor. And my neighbor told me, Daryl, don't mention anything about this around here. But he goes, around here we keep to ourselves. We don't say anything about anything. We don't talk about stuff here. Tell your boy he saw a bear. I'm thinking, wow, it got around so fast. I went down, took the little boy home, and now the whole neighborhood knows that they saw a bear. So I just let it go. Didn't say anything about the police department. Didn't say that I called them. Next morning, there's a white car sitting out in front of my house.
Hey, Daryl.
Yes, sir.
Can we hold you over? Can you continue the story in about 2 minutes?
Take our first
Absolutely,
break.
Because we're getting good, because we need to take a little bit of a break. At the bottom of the hour, and this is pretty good. Can you imagine living in a neighborhood saying don't?
No, the whole time he's talking, I'm thinking this is like a made-for-TV movie.
I know, right? Well, it also means that they knew ahead of time. This obviously happened before.
Yeah, but still,
that's like living in Reading and saying stay out of the heat. Right. Well, thank you guys very much, Daryl. We will be right back.
Hang in there.
Stay there.
They do, but most guys in the outdoors, we either hunt or fish, or we cross over and we do both. So it was just a great avenue to represent Michigan.
bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to Rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to the California Venture District Radio Show. My name is Nigel. My co-pilot,
James Mazzotta.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am well. Thank you.
We're going to get right back into it. Mr. Darrell, are you still there?
I am here, sir.
Well, it's great that you're still here. This is Darrell. This is Darrell Owen. He's a Bigfoot expert and eyewitness, and he's retelling his story from his meeting with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, why don't you pick up where you left off, something about a white van or a white car pulling up to your house.
There was there was a next morning. There was a white car parked in front of my house. I went out to chop some wood and had noticed he sat out there. And he sat out there for a long time while I was breaking wood. And all it did was anger me because I was trying to figure out what he was doing. I opened up the garage door. Axe in hand. Went down my driveway, turned on the road, and there was a man sitting there, and he had noticed just about the time I got to the front of his car with this axe. And he jumped out of the car, and he goes, whoa, wait. And I said, what do you want, and what are you doing? He goes, my name is Steve Silkey. I'm with the Del Norte Triplicate, which is the newspaper out of Del Norte County, which is Crescent City. He goes, yesterday I overheard a conversation between two police officers about your boy seeing a Bigfoot, and you had called the police department. And I said, yes. And he said, the police department, Mr. Owen, laughed at you.
Mm.
He said, they weren't going to send anybody out, and there just happened to be an officer within 4 miles of your home, and there was talk between the two officers that you'd probably seen a Bigfoot, but they were going to keep it quiet. So they assured you that you saw a bear. So it's this small community now, and it's Northern California, and I think it is. They know they're there. They just don't want to admit to it. And people that do it, that do see it and try to report it, it gets real bad for them. It got real bad for us.
See, now,
I had a long conversation.
I can.
I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
I can imagine if I was a police officer and I got called out to a Bigfoot incident, even as a police officer, I'm not quite sure I'd know what to do. You know, but continue.
Okay, sir. So I took Steve inside the house, and I sat him down, and he got to talk to my son. He talked to me, and I took him out to the site. He took some pictures of the footprints, and he goes, you ever heard of Bigfoot? I said, nope. I said, I've never heard about the name Bigfoot. And he goes, how about Sasquatch? I said, nope. And he goes, down the road a ways, there is a reported sighting from the 60s, it would be 1969 now, I know it very well. There was two gentlemen named Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin that had filmed a female Bigfoot named Patty crossing the creek bed. And I said, okay, I'm trying to figure out what this has got to do with me. And he goes, I have a friend in Willow Creek that would probably like to come up and take a look at some of your prints. He is a professional, and he was part of the original investigation of the Patty sighting. I said, okay. He said, his name is Al Hodgson. So I said, no problem. And he goes, well, can you take me out and show me the prints? And so I took him out, and he came back to the house. I said, Daryl, I'd like to run this story. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the best way for the community to know that there is something in the forest that isn't an animal, well, it's an animal, but it's big and human. Maybe it's dangerous, you know? I'm thinking, you know, what are they going to do? And I told Steve, okay, go ahead and do it. So I gave him the permission to. He made a phone call down to Willow Creek. About 4 or 5 hours later, there was a knock at the door. And Al Hodgson had come up all the way from Willow Creek to my home and went inside and told me all of his stories. I'm sorry, that's a car in the background.
No worries.
Talked about his investigations and him doing prints, and he said he'd like to go out and take a look at them. So we went out there, spent about 3 hours or so in the forest. He measured them and looked at them and took pictures of them with an old camera and stuff. And looked up at me with just as serious you could get, and he goes, boys, you look like you got yourself a Bigfoot.
Well, that started
it. I am now completely hooked. I am weighted down. I'm the bait, and I want to jump in the water. So we went back to the house. The story ran the next day in the newspaper, which was probably a mistake, but I was being a little defiant, too. I'm kind of an arrogant man, if you want to put it that way. I believe in what I believe in, and I believe in what I've seen in the ground. So Al asked me, he said, next day he asked me, he says, have you ever casted a print? And I said, no. And he says, well, come on, I'll show you how to cast the prints. So he showed me how to cast the prints. We did use plaster of Paris and water. There was 36 prints. My first two I messed up because I pulled them too early. But I did bring home 34 footprints, put them in the garage. It was about 9:30 the following morning. Now, this is going to be Halloween day now. This is when the good stuff starts. So Halloween day, Al gives me a call. He says, I'm coming up. I said, okay. He said, I've got a friend coming up out of Hollywood. I'm thinking, oh, God, you know, now I'm going to have people up here that are from way down south. And now I'm getting nervous. Newspaper hit. And I'm in my garage again, cutting more firewood because I didn't get to finish that day. And another car pulled up out front. And it was an older man, a very nice-looking man, got out of the car. I opened up the garage door. And on the driveway, there was, in big red letters, in red paint, was written hoax. And the gentleman got out of his car, and he came in and goes, morning. He goes, are you Daryl Owen? I said, yes, I am. He goes, my name's Craig Carpenter. He said, I am a Cherokee Indian. I am a spiritualist from the Cherokee Indian tribe, and he's just like to talk to you about it. He goes, it's real bad luck to mess with Bigfoot. He says, not only will you have bad luck, but you will also end up being tormented by your neighbors. Well, guess what? I'm already being tormented by my neighbors because when I closed the garage door, I had hoax painted on my garage door. So now I've got this red paint across my garage door and on my pavement. I live in a very small community, and I was mad at everybody. Nobody would admit to it. So I kind of went on a vengeful run there for a while. Later that afternoon, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock, Al showed up, and he had a gentleman with him named Scott Harriet. Scott Harriet worked for Disney. He was a producer, director. He makes DVDs and videos and things like that, but he has Hollywood connections. He's really a nice man, and I love Scott to death. So they talked amongst each other, him and Scott. I showed everybody the footprints. Craig was there, Craig Carpenter, and he told me, you know what Bigfoot is, don't you? I said, no, sir, I don't. And he goes, the Talawa and the Hoopa Indians call him the Great Creator. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he goes, he is the man in the flowered house. He is Wopekamau. He goes, he is the boss of the mountain. He said, you can shoot him, you can kill him, you can stab him, you can do whatever you want to him, and he's just going to disappear. He says, you'll see one or two footprints. And I said, well, Craig, I said, I have 36 of them in my garage right now. So everybody went out. We looked at the things, looked at the prints. Scott would pick them up. He'd look at them. Craig Carpenter would not touch even one of them. He would not touch one of them. He goes, this is too spiritual for me. This is not good. This is not good stuff. He said, and he warned me also. So the next day, which is going to be now, is November 1st. Everybody's gone except for Scott Harriet. Scott and I decided that we were going to go up the mountain. We were going to actually travel up the mountain and see what we could find. So that day, we got up about 6 o'clock in the morning, headed up the mountain. It took us quite a ways to get up there. Didn't see anything, didn't hear anything. Got up just about to the top, and there is a very large bare redwood tree at the very top, and we were standing right next to that tree. There's no logging roads up there. There's nothing up there but big, huge, beautiful redwood trees, but this one tree stood out. There was a very large tree to the right of us that had no branches. It was just a stump, but it was real tall. So we decided we'd head that way. We got up there. It took us 3 hours to get to that point from the bottom of the hill.
Wow.
And we turned to the right, and there was a large tree that had been fallen right next to the other tree that was barren. And Scott goes, Daryl, look right there. And inside, underneath this log, there's kind of like a hole about the size of a truck tire. And within that hole, there was a face. You could see this face in this hole. And we're both trying to film it. Scott's filming it, and he's He's going, holy blah, 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 holy blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to say what he said, but there's a blank Sasquatch right there staring at us. I said, okay, wait, let me get down there. So because I was ahead of him. I was to his right. I got down with him. I said, I'm going to go up and go around the back side of it and see if I can see it. So I decided I would go, yeah, my first, last, and only mistake. So I get up. I'm about 15, 20 feet from Scott, and I'm standing on a redwood stump that had been fallen. I'm about 2 feet off the ground, and I was going to go over the log and come up behind this hole where this creature, whatever it is, was laying there looking at us through this hole. So I got up on this stump, and I'm holding a handheld or a shoulder mount VHS camcorder. Sorry about my dogs.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm holding a very large camcorder on my shoulder. And, you know, the old VHS tape, yep. You know, a couple hours, you know, yep. Very heavy, you know, 16, 17 pounds. You know, so I'm holding it there. And on the right side of the tree, I see an arm, a head, and a torso and a leg. And I stopped for a minute, and I thought, wow, you know, somebody's up here. It's my neighbor or something. And there's a lot of foliage, a lot of trees and stuff blocking my view, so I moved just a little bit on the log. I'm still on the log. And standing within about 30 feet of me, there is a beige, upright-looking gorilla man standing there. Very large. 7 to 8 feet tall, probably 400 plus pounds, and you're going to ask me how I know it was a man, because I could see what it is. Yeah.
So anatomically, they're similar.
Anatomically correct. Yeah, there we go. Anatomically correct. So it's got its head down, and it's looking to the right. It's looking at where the eyes are at, and it's looking to the left. It's looking at Scott and I, and I'm filming it. And I've got my finger up there, and I'm saying, okay, it's right there. You can see it. And it's looking over back over at me. And it looks back over to the right. About the third or fourth time, I thought, okay, I'm going to go up there. Now, I'm thinking this in my head. I didn't say it. There's no actions of coming forward. I was thinking it in my head that I'm going to move up there because I want to see what this thing is.
Hey, Daryl.
Curiosity is.
Daryl.
Yes, sir. I'll wait.
Let's take one more one-minute break because this is okay. Getting good, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
All right, sir.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, and we're back. We're not going to wait long.
Short but sweet.
Short but sweet. Yes. This is Nigel, California Adventure District, James Mazzotta, and we have our
attention builder,
amazing guest, Daryl Owen, is getting to the good stuff. Daryl, please continue.
All right, well, I'll just go back to where I was at the log. Now, I was thinking about moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I never said to Scott, Scott, I'm going to go towards this thing. I'm going to walk towards it. Nothing was ever said. So I brought the camera. I put the camera up on my shoulder, and I'm ready to go here. And I was moved to the right a little bit, saw this perfect thing standing there, upright, beige, you know, a beautiful looking long hair. And I'll say the hair was long on all of its body. It wasn't like a short haired. It was all long hair. Didn't smell anything, but we also noticed at exactly the same time that I'm pointing at this thing in the camera in the viewfinder that there's no bug sounds, there's no bird sounds. There was a breeze up there, but you couldn't hear the howling of the trees, or the wind was blowing through trees. You couldn't hear any cracking. It was actually dead silent. All I could hear over to the left of me is Scott over there having a cussing fit because he's so scared that he's, you know, when people get scared or angry, you know, we do some foul language over there. So in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to step forward and I'm going to step off the log. And just about the time I thought of that, this thing, and I'm going to call it a thing for now because I didn't know it was a Bigfoot at the time. This thing lowered its head and turned its head toward me and was looking over its brows, and it gave me a look that I will never forget the entire my life still today. I'm 58 years old today, and it has terrified me since the day it happened. But he gave me a look like, if you come any closer to me, I'm going to tear your arms off and beat you like a Wookiee. And I literally filmed it for 29 seconds. Now, there's another minute in there that didn't get filmed or didn't get put on television on A&E's Ancient Mysteries. As I was sitting there looking at it, I was thinking, I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm very scared right now because it knows I'm coming. And it kind of, when it lowered its head, the fear overwhelmed me, and I'm not ashamed of this, you guys, and I'm going to say something, but I urinated my pants.
I think I would have, too.
I've already been in the military for 10 years. I'm a train tracker. I'm a combat person. I've carried a gun most of my life. I've shot things. I've done things, but I had so much fear in me at that exact moment, I lost it. So the other minute that's in there is that I could not hold the camera up anymore. The camera got so heavy. And people say, well, what happened? Well, it was almost like it was telepathically telling me to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be weird. I'm not a weird human being. I believe in telepathy or things like that, but I think it was just the warning sign of it looking at me saying, don't come over here anymore. You guys are already invading our space, you know. So what I did do is I turned my back to it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if it's going to attack me, it's going to get me anyway, because there's nowhere to run. I dropped the camera, and I stood with my back on the stump to it, and I blacked out, and I passed out. I hit the ground.
That's a little fall.
it was quite a fall, sir. I ended up, pretty busted up. And, then when I stood up, Scott came over and picked me up off the ground. He goes, come on, bud, let's go. It's gone. They disappeared. Let's get out of here. Well, I didn't tell Scott that I saw something at all. I didn't want him to think I was making things up, but I didn't tell Scott I saw anything. But I had, done my thing in my pants, and the 3-hour trip up the hill took us 20 minutes to get down.
Yeah.
So that's how fast we were traveling. And in that 20 minutes, when we'd stop to take a breath, you could hear it above us up in the tree line coming down the hill.
So it's following you.
So it was definitely following us, making sure that we were leaving the area. We got back to the house. I told Scott, look, I saw something. I played the tape for him. He goes, oh, my God, you did see something. It was a daylight it was a daylight visual, videotaped, 29 seconds what I watched. I'm hooked, like I said. Now I believe in Bigfoot.
Well, yeah.
So, Daryl, we only have about about a minute and a half left or so. For those who don't know, Daryl, so we are doing a guided camping with Bigfoot expedition. We're aiming for the end of September, and Daryl is actually going to be our host. He's actually going to be our expert
camp resident.
Yes. And we're going to go up into Humboldt, up into that area, roughly, right? And
yes,
so, you know, this is the kind of story that one could listen to for hours, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I've been doing my due diligence here, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of people out there who say they've seen Bigfoot, and sometimes you can tell, you know, between the serious ones and the non-serious ones. And I will say this, that the serious ones seem to have a few things in common. Number one, the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Daryl, like what you said, there's one account that was pretty serious from a hunter. And he said he was out hunting, and people said, well, how come you didn't shoot it? And he said, well, because I was frozen. And he actually couldn't move.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And had that instinct to, like, just run away, almost that scene out of Monty Python with the bunny rabbit, but, you know, just disappear, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you guys were, I mean, he was talking about the, you know, he just said he didn't want to get weird, but the spirituality or the, mm-hmm. you know, telepathy or, you know, whatever those things are. I mean, you know, to be able to survive as long as you have in today's society would require you to have gifts of some sort, you know.
So, Daryl, you've obviously done your research ever since. What's your conclusion to all of this?
Well, my conclusion is I think they're, you know, I walk that fine yellow line because not only do they leave me evidence that I can, I've got 55 footprints from other sightings that I've investigated, including a handprint that I have. I have a handprint. So I think I'm going to get weird again because I really don't know. I've walked that yellow line. I think they're interdimensional. Maybe they're spiritual. And then on the other side, I think they're a Gigantopithecus blackie. You know, they're intelligent. They're intelligent enough that if they're real, they bury their dead. You're never going to find one. You're never going to kill one. You know, they stay to themselves. They're scared of you just like you're scared of them. Then on the spiritual side, what if they are interdimensional or what if they are part of some kind of interplanetary, interdimensional creature that can put things into your mind, don't hurt me, leave me alone, and make you turn your back to them and walk away? I've got, Nigel, witnesses and signed witnesses forms of hunters in the forest that did exactly what that man told you he did. He pointed the gun right at him but couldn't pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got your hoaxers out there said, yeah, I shot one and I like left it laying there and I went back to get the law enforcement, came back and the thing was gone. Bull crap. Come on. Honestly. If I find one, I'm dragging that sucker out of the forest. I'm telling you, I'll be like Harry and the Hendersons and put it on top of my car.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Hey, Daryl, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, man, for coming on the show.
Yeah,
this is great.
Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Me.
I'm glad you're alive.
I really
and, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you guys.
Okay.
Have a good
Nigel
day.
Nigel and James out.
Bye bye.
See you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.